Translation, the king continued, therefore, my dear Brahmana, my life, wife, children, home, furniture, and household paraphernalia, my kingdom, strength, and land, and especially my treasure, all offered unto you. Report in some readings, the word dara is not used, but the word used then is raya, which means wealth. In India, there are still wealthy people who are recognized by the state as raya. My great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was called Ramana Raya, because he was the governor of Madras and very rich. There are still many holders of the title Rai, Rai, Bhavadur, Rai, Chaudhary, and so on. The Dara, or wife, is not permitted to be offered to the Brahmanas. Everything is offered to worthy persons who are able to accept charity, but nowhere is the one that one offers his wife. Therefore, in this case, the reading Rai is more accurate than Dara. Also, since Pradhu Maharaj offered everything to the Kumaras, the word Kosha may not be separately mentioned. Kings and emperors used to keep a private treasury which was known as Ratnabandha. The Ratnabandha was a special treasury room which contained special jewelries such as bangles, necklaces, and so on, which were presented to the kings by the citizens. This jewelry was kept separate from the regular treasury house where all the collected revenue was kept. Thus, Pradyumna Maharaj offered a stock of private jewelry to the lotus feet of the Kumaras. It has already been admitted that all the king's property belonged to the Brahmanas and that Pradyumna Maharaj was simply using it for the welfare of the state. If it were actually the property of the Brahmanas, how could it be offered again to them? In this regard, Sridhar Swami has explained that this offering is just like the servant's offering of food to his master. The food already belongs to the master, for the master has purchased it, but the servant, by preparing the food, makes it acceptable to the master and thus offered it to him. In this way, everything belonging to Pradyumna Maharaj was offered to the Kumaras. It's only a person who is completely educated according to the principles of Vedic knowledge deserves to be commander-in-chief, ruler of state, the first to chastise, and the proprietor of all planet. Pradyumna Maharaj offered everything to the Kumaras. Purport in this verse is clearly stated that the kingdom, state, or empire the instruction of saintly persons and Brahmanas like the Kumaras. When monarchy ruled throughout the world, the monarchy was actually directed by a board of Brahmanas and saintly persons. The king, as the administrator of the state, executed his duties as a servant of Brahmanas. It was not that the kings or Brahmanas were dictators, nor did they consider themselves proprietors of the state. The kings were also well versed in Vedic literatures, and thus were familiar with the injunctions of Sri Upanishad, Yusavashamidam Savam, and everything that exists belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna also claims that he is the proprietor of all planetary systems. Since this is the case, no one can claim to be the proprietor of the state. The king, president, or head of the state should always remember that he is not the proprietor but the servant. In the present age, the king or president forgets that he is the servant of God and thinks of himself as the servant of people. The present democratic government is proclaimed to be a people's government, governed by the people and for the people, but this type of government is not sanctioned by the Vedas. The Vedas maintain that a kingdom should be governed for the purpose of satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It should therefore be ruled by a representative of the Lord. A head of state should not be appointed if he is bereft of all Vedic knowledge. In this verse, it is clearly stated that all high government posts are especially meant for persons who are well conversant with the teachings of the Vedas. In the Vedas, there are definite instructions defining how a king, commander, chief, soldier, citizen should behave. Unfortunately, there are many so-called philosophers in the present age which give instruction without citing authority. The main religious follow these unauthorized instructions. Consequently, people are not happy. The modern theory of diacritical communism is set forth by Karl Marx and followed by communist governments is not perfect. According to Vedic communism, no one in the state should ever there are many bogus institutions which are collecting funds from the public for the purpose of giving food to starving people, but these funds are invariably misused. According to the Vedic instructions, the government should arrange things in such a way that there will be no question of starvation. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that a householder must see to it that even a lizard or snake does not starve. They also must be given food. In actuality, however, there is no question of starvation because everything is proprietor, property of the Supreme Lord, and he sees to it there is an ample arrangement for feeding everyone. In the Vedas, it is said, Eko Bhavu Na Yoga Dadi Kama. The Supreme Lord supplies necessities of life to everyone, there is no question of starvation. If anyone starves, it is due to the mismanagement of the so-called ruler, governor, or president. It is clear, therefore, that a person who is not well versed in the Vedic injunction should not run for election as president, governor, etc. Formerly, kings were Rajarsis, which meant that although they were serving as kings, they were as good as saintly persons because they would not transgress any of the injunctions of the Vedic scriptures and would rule under the direction of great saintly persons and Brahmanas. According to this arrangement, modern presidents, governors, and chief executive officers are all unworthy of their posts because they are not conversant with Vedic administrative knowledge, and they do not take direction from great saintly persons and Brahmanas. Because of the disobedience to the orders of the Vedas and the Brahmanas, King Vena, Pritu Maharaj's father, was killed by the Brahmanas. Pritu Maharaj therefore knew very well that it behooved him to rule the planet as a servant of saintly persons and Brahmanas. Translation can continue, therefore, my dear Brahmanas, my life, wife, children, home, furniture, and household paraphernalia, and the kingdom, strength, land, especially my treasury, all offered unto you. Since only a person is completely educated according to principles of Vedic knowledge deserves to be commander and chief ruler of the state, the person chastised and proprietor of the whole planet, the Dhammarat offered everything, including the Kumaras. So, here we see how Prithvimaraj honored the Kumaras. Kumaras were technically Brahmins, of course, they're also Shaktivesh avatars, but it is the duty of the king to serve the Brahmanas. So that is mentioned here. He gave everything to them as the duty of the king. This is also mentioned in other places. For instance, Ramchandra gave everything to the Brahmanas and the priests and sacrifice. So the duty of the king is to serve Brahmanas because Brahmanas are considered to be the knowers of the Veda, and therefore the supreme authority in the state. So since the supreme authority must be supported, he has to give everything to them. So he, here he mentions, he gave everything to the Kumaras so they could have support. And of course, it's a matter of respect. So this, of course, is part of the Varnashram system where we have Sudras, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and Brahmanas. So the Brahmanas are at the top. They are qualified by Sattva, and therefore they are most qualified to study the Vedas. And the Vedas contain the essence of all knowledge, and especially spiritual knowledge. Because they are the the embodiment of spiritual knowledge, they have to be given the most respect. So the Brahmanas are put at the head of the society, and everyone must follow them. But this is the duty of the king, especially. Now, everyone has to serve the Brahmanas because the Brahmanas don't work in the normal way. They work by teaching and by getting donations. So, therefore, others have to support them. But the king is very important in the system because he has to enforce the position of the Brahmanas. If he doesn't do so, no one will give to the Brahmanas. He said, what use are these people? They don't work. Why should I give anything to them? So the king has to enforce this principle and teach this to others, and he has to set a good example. Furthermore, the king himself must get the advice of the Brahmanas to rule properly. In other words, if he's dedicated only to material things, ultimately he will become very selfish because wealth intoxicates and makes one proud. So spiritual life is very important so that the leader does not become contaminated. Therefore, he is obliged to depend on the Brahmanas for his knowledge, and therefore here he worships the Brahmanas. So this is the regular Varnashram system. Now, of course, we know that, according to Lord Chaitanya, the Vaishnava is beyond the Brahmana. And, of course, we'll see that stated even in the Bhagavatam. Why is the Vaishnava beyond? Because the Vaishnava is beyond Sattva-gun. Brahmana is only Sattva-gun, and the Vaishnava is beyond Sattva-gun, because Bhakti is beyond the Gunas. Now, of course, a Brahmana can be a Vaishnava also. But some Brahmanas are not Vaishnavas. If they're not Vaishnavas, then they may be spiritual, and they may be practicing yoga or jnana, etc. But jnana and yoga are considered also to be material. They're also a sattva-guna. So, therefore, the Brahmana is not really transcendental to the gunas. Whereas the Vaishnava practices bhakti, bhakti is beyond the gunas. And therefore, the Vaishnava is considered superior. Here it does not really mention that, but ultimately, the final authority would be the Vaishnava, not the Brahmana. By having bhakti at the top, then we have a complete system. If we only have jnana, etc., then we have artha, dharma, kama, and moksha. But Lord Chaitanya says the fifth goal is prema. So therefore, that is not complete with the Brahmana. Above the Brahmana, we have the Vaishnava. So that we have varnas and ashramas. Superior to that is the Vaishnava. He's on the top of the whole system. So Lord Chaitanya in Chaitanya Charitamrita lists the progression from the lower forms of life, trees, etc., and then the animals, and aquatic animals, and land animals, and four-legged animals, and then the higher animals, then the human being, then the civilized human being who follows Varnashram system, and then at the top of that system is the Brahmana. And the Brahmana who actually understands the whole system, not just by name, he is superior. But superior to that is the Vaishnava. So for that reason, Lord Chaitanya, when he was asked, what is the essence of the Vedas, then the people in Udupi, the Madhvacharya people, they said, follow the Varnashram system. And the Lord Chaitanya said, no, that's not very good. He rejected that. That is because the Vaishnava is superior to all the Varnas and Ashramas. And prema is the ultimate goal, not moksha or liberation. For making a society, the whole society is divided into Varnas and Ashramas, and the king is the one that institutes the rules for all of these different persons and sees that they follow everything properly. At the top of the system we have the Brahmana. So the king honors the Brahmana as the supreme part of the system. But from the higher point of view, we understand that the devotee is higher than that. So those who are true kings, they will also understand this, and they will honor the Vaishnava more than anyone else. So we see that Krishna, though he acts as a king also, he respects the Vaishnava more than anybody else. Of course he respects the Brahmanas, but more than that, he respects the Vaishnava, those who are devotees. So he is controlled by his devotees, even though he expresses his devotion to Brahmanas. More than that, he is actually devoted to the devotees. So as Nectar Devotion says, the Lord is controlled by bhakti, not by varnas and ashramas. He's controlled by bhakti. So when bhakti reaches prema, this is where the Lord gets control. So this is the most attractive feature of a person. He has bhakti. So that's higher than the whole system.
No, Vaishnava does not appear goodness. So Brahmana is only the mode of goodness. So the king always listens to the Brahmanas to run the kingdom.
Yes, since they know the scriptures, then they are the technical authorities for scripture, so he consults them and respects them. The system must remain intact.
But we never seen that Vaishnava respecting king.
Well, Kumaras are also Vaishnavas. They're Shaktivesh avatars. So in many cases, the Brahmanas are also the Vaishnavas. But there are Brahmanas who are not Vaishnavas, that may be Shivites or whatever. It could be many different types of Brahmanas. But generally in Bhagavatam we'll see that the Brahmana community is also somewhat Vaishnavic.
But anyway, the Varnashram system is already in
Kaliyuga. No, it's not practical to institute it as a social system. Very, very difficult to do that since it's already broken up. And you need the line of kings from Manu. And they will not appear again until Satyuga starts. So we don't have a proper line of kings to institute it. Just do bhakti, that's all. That's why Krishna says, so ignore everything else, just do bhakti in Kali Yuga. Everything else is secondary to that.
Garantara Sishumas Bhagavad Gita. Jai. 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 Jai